like to tag that text that was read, Two Sides of Isolation. Two Sides of Isolation. I know that doesn't sound exciting, but I got a point to get across. And before I start, it's sort of, I don't ask the choir what to say, but y'all started with, I just want to pray to you. And I guess my memory is too good. But I remember 10 years ago, on the second Sunday in August, I got up to preach. And before I preached, I started singing that song. Just a little thank you for all you've done for me. Not knowing that would be the last time I would preach at that church. And even though something hurtful happened a couple of weeks later, I can still sing that song because I can thank God for all that God has done for me. Holy Spirit at work. It crossed my mind about the last time when the song had to tell y'all something. Amen. See, everybody needs a song. Let us pray. Almighty eternal God, we just thank you for this time that we are able to gather both in this place and virtually to praise you one more time. We thank you for the songs that have been sung, the prayer that was prayed, the reading of the Holy Word. But now the people need a word from on high. So, oh Lord, I ask you to use me as only you can. Because I'm a sinner, I know there are things destructive in me that need to be removed. So I ask you to deal with it right now in only the way you can. Give me the strength, oh Lord, because it's been a busy week. I haven't been sleeping that good. And when I get tired, my tongue gets all tied up. So I ask you right now, oh Lord, to untie it right now. Give me not only the clarity of speech, but the clarity of mind and sight, because people need to hear a word. Then, oh Lord, I already told you about how hard it's been, I'm actually weak this morning, but I ask you one more time, oh Lord, to give me the strength to preach your word one more time. And because you've done it so many times, especially over the last 23 years, oh Lord, I'm going to stand on your promise. Because if you can do it before, you can do it again, and you can do it right now. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Two sides of isolation. COVID-19 has forced many of us, if not fully, into partial isolation. Isolation that has kept us from going certain places and doing certain things. And the thing that is troubling, so troubling about what we're going through right now, the virus is something we cannot see. Isolation normally has two ways of showing up. It is either self-imposed or imposed by others. And with either the God or the devil can determine your direction. For centuries, religious and non-religious folks have chosen to live in isolation. Well, when monks decide to go into a monastery, not only are they isolated from the outside world, in many instances, many are not allowed to speak to each other. We all know, heard of people we call hermits or recluse. They live alone. They don't want anybody to be bothered by anybody. In the Westerns, if you cross their property line, they would come out and shoot you. And there might be some cases of that on some of these back roads today. But then there's the isolation that is imposed on us by others. We learn about this real early in life. Anybody ever heard of time out? Time out when you sit in isolation. Time out when you get yourself together. Time out to calm things down. Yeah, I'm going to go on and say it even though I ain't told her. You know, Serena has told many of y'all of how one day I had put her in timeout. And she talks about how she called her mother and said, "You ain't going to believe this. Doctor put me in timeout." Timeout, for the most part, is temporary. However, there is isolation that is imposed on us, can be imposed on us that lasts for a long time. You know, prison life ain't easy, but it stepped up more at that prison in the mountains of Virginia called Red Onion. And Red Onion, you stay in your cell 23 of the 24 hours of the day. And Red Onion, your food is passed to you through a slot. See, that's isolation for a long time. In other places, for some courts have ruled that solitary confinement is cruel and unusual punishment. At one time, the prisoner was put in a hole. Sometimes there was little light, if any. That's isolation of the worst type. 2020, though, has brought about a new form of isolation. 2020, which was supposed to be the year of clear vision. 2020 that came with so much anticipation. In a sense, though, we were warned about 2020. Because for a long time, I would see the guys on the corner with them brown and black bags, holding them like their baby. They would turn them up every now and then. No matter how hot it was, no matter how cold it was, it could be pouring rain or blizzard. Isolation was never a problem for them. They were always happy to commute. In fact, I go through the neighborhood every now and then, they still on that corner taking commute. See, the content of those bags should have prepared us for what's coming. But on the inside of many of those bags were MD or Mad Dog 2020. And that's what COVID-19 has done. Changed what we thought would have been a dream into a mad dog. For who would have thought a pandemic like's never been seen since 1918 would show up. A pandemic that has resulted because government has refused to get things under control. Refused because we thought we could do anything we want to with God's creation. Refused because some were more interested in denying health care to those in need. Refused because some thought the economy was more important than life. Refused because some believe we got all these constitutional rights. Well, COVID-19 doesn't respect your constitutional rights. COVID-19 does not respect water. The president can build all the walls he wants to, but COVID-19 will not respect a wall. We've been forced into long-term isolation because we refuse to shut down for a few weeks. Some even drag God into the equation, talking about our right to worship God. Well, we never stop worshiping. You know, we might have limited attendance to 10 or less, you know. It's just that too many people don't think and too many people have or still have an agenda that really ain't about worshiping God at all. But I would not go out on Route 33 when there's trucks going up and down the road during the day, stand in front of a tractor trailer and say that God is going to bless or going to save me. Because if the truck didn't stop, I would meet Jesus or St. Peter at the pearly gate. And the same holds true for walking into a sanctuary packed with people who refuse to wear masks, dealing with a virus you can't see, saying, "God will save me. God will protect me." Well, too many people made that bold proclamation, and not only did they get infected, they infected other people. Even on this weekend, 250,000 gathering in the Midwest for a motorcycle rally. because they believe the false narrative. The false narrative that will spread the virus even more and cause even more death and more isolation. Many of us are isolated, but I thank God for the faithful band that comes to this place every Sunday to lead many in worship, trying to bring normalcy into the lives of many. But that isolation is working on our minds. It's depressing some people. Got others doing some destructive things. People getting short of each other. We hoarding up all kind of stuff we don't need. But isolation will drive you to one or the other side. And too many times we are driven to the side of the devil. But no matter how saved we say we are, no matter how holy we try to act when we show up on Sunday morning, we will see what isolation will do to even the best in the text. But we have Elijah, not just another prophet. He was said to be the greatest prophet. In fact, when Jesus walked on this earth, some asked if Jesus was Elijah. Elijah had seen God at work. One of my favorite stories is the one with the widow at Zarephath. It did not rain because God made it happen. There was a famine. The woman and her son were ready to eat their last meal and die. Or she embraced that mentality of scarcity that I talked about last week, saying, I don't have any food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little bit of oil. Yet we know, and Elijah and the widow saw, the jar of flour did not decrease, nor did the oil run out. See, somebody needs to shout, because God has made sure that you have some provisions in your life. But even a more powerful expression of the power of God occurred later on in the life of Elijah when he took on the priest of Baal. Elijah said, let's get two bulls. So the 450 of Baal's prophets cut up the bull, put some wood, put it on the wood. Elijah would do the same. And then Baal's prophet, they called on their God to answer with some fire. And you know, the story is real funny. You know, they said that the prophets of Baal, they started doing some hopping dancing, like they were bunny rabbit. They said the prophets of Baal shouted. The prophets of Baal cut themselves with swords and knives. Elijah said, where's God? Y'all God sleeping or something, you know. But Baal did not send fire. But check out how bold Elijah was. Not only did he take 12 stones and repair the Lord's altar, he cut up the bull and placed it on the wood. And then he poured so much water on the altar, it filled the trench that was built around the altar. Elijah called on God, and fire fell. The fire consumed the sacrifice, the wood and the stone. The fire even licked up the water that was in the trench. The display was so powerful. Elijah ordered the crowd around them to kill, and they killed the 450 prophets of Baal. God was with Elijah. Elijah had seen God's power. Yet, when Elijah heard a woman, an evil woman, a woman that was nothing but mouthful, a woman who did not respect what God said, when she said, may the gods do whatever they want to me, if by this time tomorrow I haven't made your life, Elijah, like the life of those slain prophets. With those words, Elijah was terrified. He isolated himself and found himself on the devil's side of isolation. If you don't know it, the devil is best when he gets you isolated. And that doesn't mean you got to have no other people around you, because the devil got some imps too. Imps that will do their best to to separate you from people that you know, people that have been in your corner and have your best. See, y'all remember that Sunday I talked about domestic abuse during the health moment? The abuser will always isolate you. That's the devil's playbook, no matter what way it comes. And the devil will use your self-isolation or your connection with his imp who has the devil's agenda. And it's nothing but an agenda to bring you down and bring down the people that you love. In the case of Elijah, first, he ran for his life. And how many of us have run from empty words to save our life? They were nothing but wolf tickets, and she won't catch them. Elijah runs until he sits on a solitary broom tree. A broom tree that is nothing but a bush. A bush that provides shade in a deserted place by himself. And under that broom tree, Elijah longed for his own death. See, when the devil is at his best, we don't even want to live. We want to take our own life. And even though God shows up with a messenger that feeds Elijah, check out Elijah's condition when God shows up. Elijah's in a cave, hiding from Jezebel, not even aware of what could be living in the cave. Somebody get that all the way off. See, the devil will have you afraid of smoke and mirrors and totally oblivious of what could put you in real danger. But I'm glad that God has a way of showing up at our weakest moments, at our dark moments, especially when we are on the devil's side of isolation. But God will always have a way of making us acknowledge our situation. The Lord's word came to Elijah and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Some of us been asked that same question. And we didn't know it was God when God asked us, "Why are you here?" And if you don't know, if you didn't know it was God, reflect back over some of those "Why are you here?" moments. See, I've been there where I've asked myself the same question. But let me tell you something. When I got out of Dodge, I never did return. See, thank God for the "Why are you here?" moments that will turn your life around. Somebody needs to praise it and thank you right now for "Why am I here?" And you realize that you get out of Dodge as quick as you can. Like Serena Lovell says, sometimes when your head's in the lion's mouth, you got to ease it out. And so many times when that question was asked, we want to tell God all the good things we've done. "I've been very passionate for you, Lord. I come to church. I give a tithe and an offering. While others have stopped coming, others have stopped giving." See, we can change up that statement that Elijah has made. "They have torn down your altars and murdered your prophets." To make the statements made today where everybody who ain't a Christian is the enemy. They don't respect the church. They turn down buildings into breweries and the clubs. See, like Elijah, instead of facing the challenges, knowing that God has handled his problem before, Elijah has ran from the problem and is saying to God, "Woe is me." And Elijah even had to switch up from wanting to take his life to say, "Now he's the only one left and they want to take his life." See, the devil's side is a dark side. Do whatever you can when you're in isolation to keep the devil from reeling in. The devil real good at reeling in. I hate to be so personal anymore, but to read all the way you tell me. She said, "Before we got married, you were cooking for me all the time." I said, "Yeah, I was reeling in." But just remember that when you're on the devil's side, when you're on the dark side, God will keep on speaking. Keep on speaking when you don't realize the power of God. Keep on speaking when you refuse to recognize the move of God in your prayer life. Keep speaking when you're ready to throw in the towel. When we feel that we're all alone and the world is against us and ready to take our lives, keep speaking, God. When the devil's side of isolation has taken over in our lives, expect a powerful move from God. Lord said, go out, stand before the mountain of God. Not just any mountain, but Mount Hur. Mount Hur, the mountain that Moses climbed. And not only did he meet God, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And even though most of us can't make it to Mount Hur, go wherever God tells you to go, and God will show it. The Bible said, the strong wind came. So strong it tore through the mountains and broke apart the stone. But God wasn't in the wind. The Bible said that there was an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. The wind was of God. The earthquake was God. But God did not need either to proclaim God's presence. After the earthquake, there was a fire. Well, Elijah knew about fire. But that fire had burned up that sacrifice a few days ago. That fire had stood between God's children and the Egyptians. The fire did not let the children of God go back to their used to be, and didn't let the Egyptians or their used to be take them back. See, somebody needs to ask the power of God to come in between you and your past so you won't go back in your used to be. And because of the power of God back then, Moses was allowed to climb the same mountain and meet the same God. See, when God sends some fire into your life, look at it as encouragement that God is going to protect you from some of the things in your past, and that God is going to open up a new day in your life. The Lord wasn't in the fire. It's just that there was a certain sound. A sound that was, I think I said, a sound that was quiet. And you know, even though some people think that in order to worship, you got to be loud. And yes, Psalm 150 does say, make a joyful noise, make a loud noise. Many times we miss the presence of God because we don't go to a quiet place and then quiet our spirits and listen to God. Elijah heard it. And no matter how quiet God might be, when you hear that sound, you will know that it is God. Elijah back time they came from the depths of the cave and went to the entrance of the cave. See, no matter how far life knocks you down, you can end up in the deepest depths. God has a way of lifting you back up. Do I have a witness this morning that God will lift you up? And in your time of this isolation, when just looking back over the rest of your life, I know I'm not the only one who can shout for God lifting me up when I was knocked down, not just by the world, but knocked down right up in God's house. Elijah comes from the depth of that cave to the entrance. And God asks Elijah the same question. Why are you here? And Elijah gives the same answer. I've been good. I'm the only one left. They still want to kill me. But God gives Elijah a response that lets Elijah know that now he is on God's side of isolation. On God's side, where there's no need to fear. On God's side, where you don't need to run. On God's side, where you don't want to take your life off. On God's side, where you don't need to fear that others might take your life. On God's side, where you're not alone. On God's side, waiting for you to do one. We gather to worship, even if it's virtually this morning, because God has some things that God wants us to do. Things to do right now. And things when we return to the building. God calls Elijah. Go back through the message. Go back to anoint not one, but two kings. We might not anoint kings, but we can anoint some people who will make a difference in this thing called life. A difference in the church and a difference in the world. And you know, if one good thing has come out of COVID-19, it is that the church has had to go. Go into the world using Facebook. Go into the world using YouTube. Go into the world using live streaming. But isn't that what Jesus commanded us to do in the Great Commission? Go into the world and teach and make disciples. We've been coming too loud instead of going and spreading God's word. And that's, in a way, something God told Elijah to do. God told Elijah to go and anoint Elijah to succeed him as a prophet. And that's so important for every church. Every church needs to be empowering additional leaders, but none of us gonna be on earth. Amen. Like preach on pastor. See, God's side is a good side. God's side of isolation is filled with possibility. On God's side, we are not alone. But just as God had preserved 7,000 of the prophets of his day, God has preserved thousands and millions for us. Thousands who will partner with us to build God's kingdom right here on earth. See, it's time for all Christians, the Big C Church, to come together. The days of competing are over. The days of trying to find fault in what's wrong in this church and that church instead of dealing with what's wrong in our church. You know, the days of finding fault in others are over. I want to know if this morning, are you on God's side in your isolation? The good side. The side of unlimited possibilities. Because not only does God love us, do you know how much God loves us, church? God loves us and cares so much that God stepped down from glory. God put on human flesh. And after teaching us, leaving us the great commandment and the great commission, Jesus and suffered and died so that we might be on God's side for eternity. And I have to ask you like Joshua this morning, whose side are you on? But it's for me and for my house. We've chosen to be on God's side. Are you with me this morning, New Hope Fellowship? So when trouble comes, when you're praying, when you don't know which way to turn, when your back is against the wall, don't fall for the tricks of the devil. They are nothing but smoke and mirrors. All they will do is mess you up and bring you down. Listen for God's voice. Let God's voice live. Choose to be on God's side. And you're going to have what they call a praying new. Are you ready for a brand new day, church? Where Christians are real Christians. Where we really love one another. Where we look out for one another. When we're about good things. I'm looking forward to a brand new day for revival in this world. Where there's no hate. Where there's no mass incarceration. Where black men unarmed are not being killed by law enforcement. I'm looking for a brand new day. A day of possibility. There are for more than one day. But they are eternal. Because we are. I said we are. We are on God's side. Amen. Amen. And amen. At this time,